Welcome back on the phone now, Jane Weaver. She is behind our album of the week, Modern Cosmology, which came out on the 19th of May on Fire Records. Jane, welcome. Thanks so much for talking to us.
Hey, no problem.
It's an absolute pleasure to be able to give you a quick grilling on this fascinating album, really, that comes fairly soon after your hugely successful album, The Silver Globe. Did you feel a pressure after that album to basically produce another great album?
Yes, because being primarily independent for however many years, 15 years or whatever, the Silver Globe for me was a success. It was a personal success, and there was when I finished the record, and then a lot of people were asking me to do gigs and a lot of press involved and stuff. I was like, I wasn't used to that amount of sort of people liking my music and doing lots of gigs with the band and stuff. So yeah, I did feel when I had to do another one, the feeling of dread, really. but knowing that obviously making an album is a good thing, and you know, I just had to kind of switch off from what I'd done before, not think about that or think about any pressures, and just get in the zone really, and get the work done, get my head down and do the work.
Sure. And in terms of what you've done before, and just to give listeners who have somehow avoided your music a vague idea of what it is, I mean, it's called cosmic pop, and we've got these great synth textures and quite sort of spacey yet profound lyrics, and basically just a sonic scape. I mean, what I want to know is, because you've done a heck of a lot over the course of your career, and you've gone through sort of solo projects and folk and sort of soundtracks, all sorts. How have you got to this point of using these sort of synths and sort of 80s pop feel now in 2017?
Well, I think it's always been my love of pop music, for instance, always been there. My love for heavy psych and my love for motoric music's always been there. But I think I put myself in this kind of self-imposed exile where I used to work with the band, was in Killora and then Misty Dixon. And then when it became solo, I started doing a lot of gigs on my own. And I just became really sort of stagnated and bored, really, and a bit lost of what to do in sort of this sort of new folk world at the time. And so the thought of getting a band together seemed quite a colossal task. And I just thought it's not really going to happen. But then I just bit the bullet really, and just got on with it, you know. But it was, I guess, just getting out of a rut that I was in that forced me to look back at what I love and what I want to do, and just be brave about it.
Well, getting out of that rut meant producing an album that has given you now a newfound audience, really a wider audience. Did you feel any kind of influence on this new album with wondering how you would produce music to that new wider audience? Did it affect your writing in any way?
Well, yeah, it does initially, and then you do have to switch off and take no notice of the world outside, because you know, I'm not writing to order. You've just got to be honest about what you're doing. I changed the production on this record to make it clearer, and I suppose my vocals are louder. There's a lot more clarity between tracks, for instance, because on the last record, which I love doing a lot of space echo and tape loop echo, that kind of thing, to make it sound really cosmic, and I swamped it. I really did swamp it, but it was fine for the time for that album. It was good to do that, but for this one, I made a considered production decision to not do that, to make myself feel uncomfortable, really.
Okay.
And when you're in that uncomfortable minute, you're kind of thinking, not too sure about this, but it's pushing you as an artist, I think, to make you do something different.
Right. I mean, this is something I was going to mention, the clarity of the lyrics, because I am much more, I think any listener is much more aware of them on Modern Cosmology as they are on The Silver Globe. And there is a sense of dread and apocalypse. And if we look at Raven's point with Spoken Word by Malcolm Mooney from Can,
yeah.
We're on our way to dust. What is the sort of central thought behind this album? Because it is fairly sort of apocalyptic.
I think that when I was writing and started writing with, you know, within, I don't really finish the lyrics till the last end of the process, where all the album's more or less tracked. It's not mixed, but it's more or less tracked. So I've got skeletal ideas. But I think due to the upsetting and sort of not political and wars and stuff happening in the world, I was drawing upon that and trying to make sense of it as a person like anybody who hasn't got a control over the situation. You know, all these things happen in the world, and yet we're just like little microdots, and we have not much influence on what goes on. It's out of our hands, and it's easy for people to feel down and depressed about that. But I think my sort of take on it was to concentrate on your own cosmos and the world you're in, and what you can do and what you're good at in order to create some kind of positive energy so you don't feel out of control. It sounds a bit hippie-ish, but that's that's what I was kind of lyrically trying to draw on,
but
energy,
yeah,
you know.
But it avoids this hippie feel, I think, and it does. it seems to be that you have this great focus on rhythm, this kind of driving motoric rhythm. Was this something that was very much a conscious sort of bedrock for the album? Because you talk about, and there is a great sense of the profound on this album, and that can in other cases, you know, get a little bit, I'm trying to think of the nicest possible word, but there is a driving motoric rhythm that pervades the album. Was that very much a deliberate intention?
Definitely. I mean, when I started the song Hack, and I did that, it's the mini moog on it, and it's got that pulse all the way through, and it was just so important to set the tempo for the record. I mean, I recorded that halfway through a lot of songs I've recorded, but that, to me, when I did that, I was like, now I know what I kind of want it to feel like or draw upon. And I think as a writer, it's more challenging if you've got like a motoric beat or everybody's doing similar chords. And so you're not changing, here's the chorus, here's the middle eight, da-da-da-da, like a traditional song. But you're making it move with the melody that you're singing. I think that's more of a challenge for me personally, but you're still keeping that beat throughout, you know. It's just a thing that I like to do, I suppose.
And at times it's beautifully simple. At the beginning of The Lightning Back, you have the synth ostinato going on, bass, which is sort of unchanging bass, drums, no harmonic change, but it's just this plaintive melody over the top. So the songs are driven by the melody, are they?
Yeah, I mean, I work with a bass player, and I've played some bass on it, and the guitarist has played some bass. We've all done like different things on the record. But when I've been in the studio and I said to the bass player, just play that D all the way through like this, and he's just like, okay. And he's really amazing bass player. Like, he was in Marina and in the Diamonds, and he's like been in loads of amazing touring bands, and he's very, very proficient as a bass player. So I always feel bad when I go, just play that all the way through. But I think the simplicity in it is that a lot of the time that I was working just me and an engineer, so I would use my guitar takes and my bass takes, which normally I would get somebody else to replace. I mean, I'm you know, obviously if I can't do something, if it's too technically difficult, I will get somebody much better than me to play that. But a lot of it I kept in. I tried to keep in my stuff where I could, just because it's simple. It's like a, you know, recording like a four track or something. It's just like a simple demo sound.
So in terms of how this translates to a live stage, I mean, I know you were talking about the Silver Globe somewhere and saying how it wasn't 100% like the album, because there were elements of spontaneity when you were recording that you couldn't remember how to reproduce. How faithful have you tried to be with Modern Cosmology on stage?
I like to keep true to what I've done, and so therefore... We do all play live. I have samples of stuff as well, because there's certain stuff that I just can't recreate at all, because it's like I haven't got the right timing of the arpeggio, or I haven't got the right equipment, or I don't want to take that, you know, I don't want to take my Juno on tour with me because it's a bit old, or, you know, my Farfisa. So it's like I will kind of cheat as well. Well, it's not cheating, because it's you know, obviously those sounds are part of the record, so I want people to hear them. That, you know, I don't want people to be in the crowd going, oh, it'd be really nice to hear that keyboard sound and it's not there. So I try and keep it as true as possible. But as I say, there's room for, you know, the great thing with a band is there's room for dynamics, you know, loud and soft, and everybody when it needs to be heavy, you go heavy. When it needs to be light, it goes light. So, but I like to concentrate more on singing live anyway, rather than stressing out about the next keyboard part coming up or whatever. So.
Sounds sensible. And you've been on tour since the release of the album. Just now, you've been in Birmingham, Manchester, London, and you are heading to Paris on the 2nd of June, playing at the... We tried to say this before, didn't we? We struggled.
La Maroquinerie.
There we go. I mean, there's no excuse for me, because I'm meant to be able to speak French. How is the tour going? Is the album going down as you'd hoped?
Yeah, I mean, the first gigs you do, it's terrifying because you're playing the album. The album's out on the day you're doing the gigs, and only people have only heard like the single or maybe one or two tracks that've been on the Six Music or on YouTube or whatever. So you're basically playing a whole bunch of new records to a crowd who've liked your old album. So I'm kind of sympathetic because there's a bit of a transition going on. But the crowd have been amazing so far. We've sold out all our gigs, so in the UK for this current one, and it's been really nice. And I've been saying, you know, I'm really kind of sorry right now, but that's the way it goes. We do throw in, we do like four old ones as well, but we're primarily doing the album. That's the thing we want to get across.
Yeah, and you're a constantly changing artist anyway. So, I mean, and you even sing "Now I'm Changing My World" on this album. What are we going to be looking at in the future? What changes are we going to see?
Well, just the thing I have in my head every time I go to do another record thing, I need to do a soundtrack record. So that's the next thing I'm doing, a soundtrack record, which is already half done with two members of the band, and that hopefully will be out next year at some point. That and also the next record I'm going to start thinking about next year, and hopefully I've got a thing where I found quite a good studio in France, so hopefully I'll be over to France to record, to just get out of the UK and just spend a couple months in France. That'd be my dream, really.
Sounds
and
very good.
For my French as well, which is plummeting at the minute.
Oh no. Well, I can recommend working and living in France wholeheartedly, and we look forward to this upcoming album. That sounds fascinating. Jane Weaver, thank you so much for talking to us. It's been an absolute pleasure, and we will continue to play Modern Cosmology, our album of the week, with pride and pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Cheers for that.
You're listening to English for Everyone. Tweet us and follow us on Instagram at EU Radio English, and find us on Facebook, EU Radio Nantes English. 101.3 FM.